The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's parsha is Parsha Shefti. In the parsha, Dvarim Yutes, Posuk Tes Vod. Lo Yoko Meir Echod B'Ish. A single witness shall not stand up against a man, lechol oven, for any type of punishment, lechol chatas, for any type of sin, lechol cheta sheyechato, any sin which he might have sinned, al pishne edim or al pishleisha edim yokum dover. In accordance to two witnesses, or in accordance to three witnesses, yokum dover, shall the issue be established. The Torah here tells us that we must not accept a single witness in the Bezdin, in the courts. But for issues, we must have two witnesses or three witnesses. The Sifri, and this posuk, states as follows. Lo yokum eid echad b'ish, a single witness shall not stand up against another man. Ein li yela l'dini nefoshes. This tells me that when it comes to issues of life and death, then one witness is not acceptable. L'dini momenes minayin. How do we know that if it's issues in regards to monetary matters, one witness is also not acceptable? Talmud leima l'chol oven. So it says l'chol oven. L'makais, and what happens if it's related to physical punishment? Or l'korbones? Or if a witness is coming to testify that he has committed such a sin, and this sin would require him to bring a sacrifice? Tamalayim l'chol chatis. It states l'chol chatis. What about if you're not going to come to testify against him in something which he might be liable for the death punishment? Or you're not going to testify against him for corporal punishment? Or you're not going to testify against him for monetary punishment, but rather you're coming only, for example, lahalis lekuhuna laherid mina kuhuna. You're coming to establish on him whether he's a qualified kohen or not a qualified kohen. You're coming, this is what we call lifsul, you're coming to disqualify him from the kuhuna, or disqualify him from being a valid witness or a valid judge. How do we know then also a single witness is not acceptable? Talmud leimer lechol oven ulechol chates asheyechto. For whatever sin which he has might committed. So we see that the Torah here forbade us to accept the testimony of one man regarding death penalty, regarding corporal punishment, regarding monetary matters, or regarding disqualifying a person to be kosher for kahuna, or kosher for witnesses or judges and so forth. Then the Sifri further darshans. Avalishfuah hukom. There are some times that one witness will be acceptable, and that's not to prove a penalty, but to prove the obligation of an oath. For example, that if there's a claim of money against the person, Reuven says that Shimon borrowed 1,000 rand, and Shimon denies it, and Reuven brings an eid echod, a single witness, so we cannot extract money from Shimon, because we must have two witnesses. But we can obligate now Shimon with a shvua, with a oath, where he's obligated now to take an oath that he does not owe the money. If he refuses to take the oath, then he'll have to pay the money. But if he takes the oath, he will be believed over the single aid, over the single witness. So for all of these things that we mentioned, a single witness will not be acceptable. Lo yokum, he shall not stand up. But l'shvu hukom, but to obligate an oath, that he would be acceptable. There are, this is the general principle throughout the Torah. There are a few other rare exceptions to this principle. But basically, this is the general principle throughout the Torah. This is a halacha, a very important law, which is learned from Ar Sedra. This law has a lot of has much relevance to many issues. And this evening, let's spend some time going into this to see what we can learn. Gemara brings in Masechet Psochim and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis Ki Ha De Tuvia Chota. There was a man by the name of Tuvia, and he committed a sin. He was a Jew, and he might have been a fine Jew, but he committed a sin. And this sin was witnessed by a person by the name of Zigud. So also Zigud lechudei va'asid bei kameid rav popa. Zigud, when he saw Tuvia commit this sin, and the sin was a serious sin. From some of the commentaries, it might have been an act of immorality or an act of adultery. So when he witnessed this, he felt obligated to go to the Beis Din and to tell the Beis Din about this, in order that they should discipline Tuvia. So also Zigud lechudei va'asik bei kameid Rav Papa. So Zigud went and testified himself to Rav Papa, Rav Papa's Beis Din. Nagdeho leZigud. Rav Papa ordered that Zigud should be given Malkus. That Zigud, the witness, should be given lashes. When Zigud heard this, Omalei, he said, Tuvia chota v'zigud mangid. Tuvia is the one who commits the sin, and I'm the one who gets the lashes. Omalei ein. He said, yes. Dechsiv layokum eidechot bi'ish. Says in the Torah that a single witness shall not stand up against his fellow man. Ve'at lechutcha asadata bei. And you testified individually, alone, against your fellow man. And since you are not acceptable as a witness, because you're an individual witness, so it's shame ra, it's loshon hara. Therefore, you get lashes. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Omar Rav, muter lishnaisei. So Rav Shmuel, the son of Rav Yitzchok, said in the name of Rav, you can't come to Beis Din if you witness such an act and testify against him. But since you know that he has committed such an act, and it's a very bad act, muter lishnaisei, you're allowed to hate him. You're allowed to hate him for the act which he has committed, since you know he committed it. And then he brings a proof on it. Then the Gemara tells us, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok omar, mitzvah lishnaisei. Not only are you allowed to hate him, but it's a mitzvah to hate him. As it states, Yiras Hashem, sinas ra. Those who fear Hashem hate evil. From here's a very important principle, that if you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you must hate evil. You cannot love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and love evil at the same time. So therefore, when you see evil in a person, you're allowed to hate this evil. Omer Ravacha b'rei d'rovel Ravashi. Ravacha, the son of Rovel, said to Ravashi, Mahu le'meimre le'i l'rabbei l'mishnayu. Would you be allowed to go and tell his Rebbe what he did, in order that his Rebbe also should know what he did and hate this in him, and also to guard him from influencing the other disciples? Amalei, so he answered, I yoda de mehemen l'rabbe ki beitrei leimalei. If you know that your Rebbe will listen to you and believe what you say, like two witnesses, then you can tell his Rebbe. Vilei lei leimalei. But if not, then you are not allowed to tell his Rebbe. This Gemara is not an easy piece of Gemara. It's a very difficult piece of Gemara. But there are many, many laws that we can learn from here. Firstly, we see three principles. We see that if a person witnesses a crime or a sin committed by a fellow man, he is not allowed to go testify to the Beis Din. And if he does, then we see that he receives lashes. See, he receives lashes. That's the first principle. The second principle from the Gemara is, since the witness knows himself what he saw, and he knows what this person did, then he's allowed to despise him for it. He cannot testify to the Beis Din, but he can despise him for it. The Gemara says he's either allowed to, or maybe even it's a mitzvah to. Thirdly, a third principle, if the Rebbe of this individual is the type of person that would believe so close to the witness, that he would believe the witness, like two witnesses, entirely believe in what he would say, then he can tell his Rebbe for these particular purposes, because then he knows that the Rebbe will believe him. But if he has any doubt that the Rebbe would believe him like two witnesses, then he's not allowed to tell his Rebbe. These are the three principles that we see from the Gemara. In regards to the first one, that he's not allowed to testify, the reason why he's not allowed to testify is because the Beis Din is not allowed to believe him, because the Torah said, Lo yokum eid echad b'ish, a single witness the Beis Din is not allowed to accept. If the Beis Din would be allowed to believe him, for example, if there would be two witnesses, then the halacha is, the law is, that he's obligated to testify. See? He would be obligated to go testify. And this we derive from that it states in the Torah, Leisamer al damre echo, that you should not stand by while the blood of your fellow man is being spilled. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, and daf ein gimel omer aleph, that if you see your friend drowning, or if you see your friend being attacked by bandits, you're not allowed to stand idly by. You must go help him. Leisamer al damre echo, do not stand by while the blood of your fellow man is being spilled. In the Mechilta, on that posuk, in Sefer Shmais, and the Rambam brings this in Mitzvah Reish Sarek Zayin of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that this negative commandment does not only refer to standing idly by when your fellow's life is in danger, your fellow man's life is in danger. But even if his money also is in danger, you're not allowed to stand idly by. And this refers to a case also where, for example, if you know testimony, if you know testimony that can help your fellow man save himself from some type of hezek, from some type of damage, be it bodily damage or be it monetary damage, then you are obligated to go with the other witness and testify before the Beis Din. And if you don't, and this is called hakevish edusei, if you withhold your testimony, then you transgress this negative commandment of leisamed al dam reecho, that you're not allowed to stand idly by when your fellow man is in trouble. So if the Beis Din would be able to hear the testimony of this man, then it would be a mitzvah for him to come testify. But since the Torah said that one witness is not acceptable, so therefore the Beis Din is not allowed to listen to his testimony. So there is no te'elis, there is no achievement, there is no accomplishment in this man coming to Beis Din. Now if he does come to Beis Din and he does testify, so what he's saying is Shem Rabbi Alma, the Gemara says, is Loshon Hora. Because the Beis Din cannot accept it anyway. Therefore, it's an Avera Loshon Hora. This is what the Rishbam explains. He says that why did they give Zigud Balkus? So he said, Me'acher Sheina Tornemen Be'edus. Lo yiskabel edusko, because since your testimony cannot be accepted, so ein loch alecho mitzvah lohoid. So now there's no mitzvah for you to testify. And now hareyata ever alav de leiselich rochel. And now you transgress the negative commandment of leiselich rochel, of spreading loshon hora, of spreading slander on your fellow man. So here we see a principle that the only time one is allowed to go to Beis Din to testify, only if the Beis Din will be able to accept his testimony and if there'll be some type of achievement. But if there'll be no achievement, then not only he's not allowed, not only there is no purpose in his testimony, but the testimony is forbidden because it'll be Loshon Hora, because it's not doing anything for the next fellow. Graham, could you just give me a Cheshin Mishpat, first Chelek? Thank you. And this is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. In Cheshin Mishpat, Simen Chof Ches, the beginning of the Simen, is written, Kol Bishi Yedei Edus L'Chaveirei. Anyone who knows testimony that can help his friend, and he's capable of testifying, legally capable of testifying, and his friend now will have some gain from his testimony, since he's legally qualified to testify and he knows something, so he's obligated to testify, if his friend will ask him to come to Beis Din, to court, then he's obligated to come and give testimony. The im kovash edusai, but if he withholds his testimony, so then we can't sue him. But chai b'dini shamayim, but heaven will give him a retribution for it. And then the Rama brings, therefore, a single witness should not give testimony, unless it's a type of testimony that can be heard in the Beis Din. Like we mentioned, for example, in regards to Shvua, an oath. Incidentally, I forgot one other important principle, that a single witness is also believed when it comes to Isa v'Heter. That means that if you want to know if something is kosher or not kosher, see, if something is kosher teed or not kosher teed, one witness is believed on it. When it comes to tell us what is permissible and what is prohibited, generally one witness will be believed. So if it's a testimony which can be heard in the Beis Din and accepted, then it's a mitzvah for him to come and give it. But if it's a testimony that, and if he doesn't, and his fellow man can receive harm through his negative action, then this is an aveira, this is a sin. But if it's a testimony that cannot be accepted in the Beis Din, because he's not legally qualified to testify, so not only is it no mitzvah for him to come to testify, but now it becomes, in many cases, an aveira. Because if his testimony involves slandering another man, and since there is no gain in this testimony to help his other fellow man, so now it remains Loshon Hora. Shame Rabbi Alma, the Gemara says. So now he's a Baal Loshon Hora, he's a slanderer. So therefore he's not allowed to go to the Beis Din. That's why, had Zigud witnessed this act with another witness, then it would have been a mitzvah for them to go and testify to the Beis Din. But since he witnessed it alone, so therefore there is no purpose in his testimony. The Beis Din is not allowed to hear it. So what does it remain now? It's Loshon Hora. So then it's also forbidden. So therefore he wasn't allowed to come. This is why he wasn't allowed to come. Now we see a second detail, that the Beis Din ordered that he should get lashes for it. See, why? So on this, there are two opinions. Incidentally, much which I'm bringing here, a huge amount of what I'm bringing here this evening, is from the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, written by the Chofetz Chaim, Zichron El Rocha, on the laws of Loshon Hora. And he speaks about this in several places. One of the places is in his Psicho, where he lists, the Leisa says, on the Leisa say of Lo Yokum Eidechot. Now, there are two opinions as to why the Beis Din ordered lashes. According to the Rashbam that we quoted, and according to other commentaries, the Rambam, the only wrongdoing here was Loshon Hora, was slander. And therefore the Beis Din ordered lashes. Now, even though when one slanders, this does not automatically bring with it a punishment of malchus of lashes, but the Beis Din saw in this case that they should give such a punishment. There's another opinion that he was not only transgress the prohibition of slander of Loshon Hora, but there was a second transgression. And that's the opinion which is brought in the Sefer Yireim and in the Sefer Mitzvot HaGodol. That is, he transgressed also the commandment which we learned in our Parsha, Lo Yokum Eid Echod B'ish, that one man shall not testify against another man. And he testified. And for that he was ordered lashes. And that is lashes, that is an aveira, that's a negative commandment that automatically brings lashes with it. The first opinion holds that that is not a prohibition on the individual. That's a prohibition on the Beis Din. Lo yokum eid echod b'ish, that a single witness shall not stand up against his fellow man. That means that the Beis Din is not allowed to accept the testimony of a single witness. And if the Beis Din would accept it, then they would transgress that negative commandment. So that's why that opinion holds that he only transgressed the commandment of Loshon Hora. But the others hold that it's a transgression on the individual, that you are not allowed to testify in something which two witnesses are required as a single witness. So therefore, there were two aveiras here that Zigud committed. He committed an aveira of Layokum Eid Echod B'ish, that a single man was testifying against his fellow man where he was not allowed to. and a second transgression of Shem Rabbi Alma, of Loshon Hora, of slander. And the lashes came for the first transgression. This is what we learn in regards to the first principle, in regards to the first principle that we said we see from this Gemara. A second principle that we see from the Gemara is that if you see your fellow man commit a sin, you can't come to the Beis Din and tell them about it because you're a single witness. But nevertheless, since you know, then you're allowed to despise them for it. And the third principle we mentioned, that you're allowed to go tell, the Gemara says, his Rebbe, if his, you know his Rebbe will accept your words as if they are coming from two witnesses. And then the Rebbe also can despise him. Now, let's go into these two principles. In the Sefer HaChofetz Chaim, in Klal Daled of Hilchos Loshon Hora, he goes into these two principles in great detail. Not always are you allowed to despise your fellow man when you see him commit a sin. And he brings the halachas as follows. If you see an odem beinoni, now we're speaking of kosher people, see, people who are considered kosher Jews. So if you see an odem beinoni, that means an average kosher Jew, not a great tzaddik, not a great, a righteous person, not a Talmud Chacham, not a Rav, an average kosher Jew. What is an average kosher Jew? So he defines it that's a person who tries to keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. There are times when he stumbles and he does averas, but he tries his hardest to keep the mitzvahs. If you witness that such a man has committed a sin, and we're speaking about grave sins, see? He went and committed a, he stole, say, or he did some type of sin like that. How must you react? So in such a case, you are obligated from the Torah to be don him lekafschus. You're obligated to judge him favorably. And this is a mitzvah esei min haTorah. This is a positive commandment from the Torah. As it states, b'tzedek tishpait amisecho. B'tzedek tishpait amisecho, that you shall judge your fellow man favorably. And you're obligated to think that since this person is a kosher Jew, and he tries to keep all of the mitzvahs, and now you see, you saw, you witnessed that he did an avera, maybe I didn't see correctly. Or if I did, maybe he was in error. Maybe he didn't realize that one is not allowed to do this. Or maybe he had a reason which justified it. Or maybe he did it without intention. Or maybe he thought that this is not a real Aveda. He thought this is a Midas Hasidus. He thought this is something which a Jew is not obligated to do. It's just something which goes beyond the law. So the first category is that when you see a what is called an Odom Beinoni, a middle class kosher Jew,
And that's someone who tries to keep all of the mitzvahs. But because of human frailties, so sometimes he stumbles. If you witness that he does such an aveira, you are obligated to judge him lekafshus favorably, in whichever way possible. Certainly, therefore, you're not allowed to hate him, to despise him for this. And certainly, you are not allowed to tell anyone of this aveira. Because to the Mezdid you can't go, because you're an individual witness, so they couldn't do anything about it anyhow. But to others also you're not allowed to tell. And if you do, then it's Loshon Hara. And incidentally, Loshon Hara is a very, very serious offense in the eyes of the Torah. Very, very serious, like we've mentioned many, many times. The Rambam brings that if someone speaks Loshon Hara on someone else, Afal Pisha Hu Emes, even though it's true, Hareze Machri Vesailam, he is destroying the world. And the Chofetz Chaim writes that the whole reason why we're in Golus is because of Loshon Hara, and the whole reason why the Mashiach hasn't come yet, or the basic reason, is because of Loshon Hara. See? So we're dealing with a very serious offense. Therefore, you're not allowed to tell anyone that I saw this person do such and such a thing. See? But you have to judge him favorably. That's the first classification, the first category. The second category is what happens if you see this type of person do an aveira, a very serious aveira, and you see it in such a situation where you know that he did it intentionally. You know. You would like to judge him favorably, but it's impossible. I cannot say that he didn't know about it because I know he knows about it. I can't say that he made an error. I can't say there was an intention. I can't say that there was some justification in his mind because I know that he had no justification. So I see him do something which is a serious offense in the Torah, and I see it with my own eyes, and under no circumstances can it be justified. What is the halacha then? In this situation, you are also obligated . You can't judge him favorably in such a case, like we mentioned. So in this situation, you are also obligated, though, to still judge him favorably, but in another vein. Not to say that in his eyes the aveira was not an aveira, because this we cannot, but to say that the aveira was aveira. But since he is a kosher Jew, and he's a Jew that tries to keep mitzvahs, most likely he's done shuvah from it. He's had karoto, he's remorseful over it, he's sorry he did it, and he has done shuvah. This is what you're obligated, this is how you're obligated to judge him. Therefore, you're forbidden to despise him for it, because if he did shuvah, he's a good Jew, you cannot despise him. If you are forbidden to tell this to another soul, because you're besmirching his reputation. If you open your mouth to your neighbor and tell him, you know what I saw so-and-so do, he thinks he's such a good Jew, you know what I saw him do, then unfortunately you might pay for it with your life. Because the Torah is very, very severe against besmirching other people's reputations unless it's under cases that the Torah permitted it. So even though you saw, and you know that there is no other way to interpret it, and you know that he did it on purpose, and it's a serious aveira, but since he's this type of Jew that tries to keep mitzvahs and tries to do good things, then we have to say, all right, it was an aveira, but he'll do tshuva for it. So now he's a kosher Jew. Not allowed to talk against him. And if you do, It's the great avera of Lashon Hara. What you are obligated to do, though, what you are obligated to do is to rebuke him. In the first case, it wasn't possible to rebuke because we couldn't even accept if it was an avera. But in this case, where we know it's an avera, you're obligated to rebuke him. But you must rebuke him in a way that will be acceptable to him. You must rebuke him with sina, privately, benachas, quietly, and with a love for a fellow man. And then you fulfill the commandment of Vecheach Techiach Es Amisecho. That when you see your fellow man going astray, you must rebuke him, but not in a way of which you will commit a sin. So that's the second classification. A third classification is what would happen if the person is not a middle of the road person like we mentioned, but he's a Talmud Chochem. He's a Talmud Chochem. He's a Rav. He's a very, very righteous person. He has a great fear of Hashem. And you find yourself in a situation where you witness him doing an Aveira. And again, it's such an Aveira that cannot be interpreted favorably. Such an act that cannot be interpreted favorably. What is the law then? Then the law is to tell anyone of this Aveira. The Chofetz Chaim writes, Oven Godel would be a very, very great Aveira. Why? Because the Gemara says that when you see a righteous person doing Aveira, or the Talmud Chochem doing Aveira, Ibro Iso Talmud Chochem, Ovar Aveira, Balailo Al Tahara Acharecha Beyoin. If you see him do an Aveira at night, you must not think badly about him during the day. Shevadai osot tshuva. Because for sure he has done tshuva. Not in, like in the previous case that we say that perhaps he has done tshuva, but we say for sure he has done tshuva. The difference is because the other case was a person who was known as a Beinoni. He was a middle of a road person that tries to do good. This one, in this case, is a person who has a reputation of always doing good. So therefore, in view of his reputation and in view of his chazoko, of that status, of that reputation, we are obligated to say that if it was an Aveira, then for sure he has already done Shuvah. So again then, you wouldn't be allowed to despise him at all. You wouldn't be allowed to tell anybody about it. Because there's no justified grounds for it. And if you did, it would be a very great Aveira of Lashon Hara. What happens now is another classification. If it's a Beinoni, a middle-of-the-road Jew, who tries to do good, tries to keep mitzvahs, but, and you witness that he does an Aveira, and it's the type of Aveira that we cannot interpret in any other way, but we know for sure that he did it. And he's the type of Jew, though, that you know is a little, or quite a bit, on the left side. If you'll tell him about it, he'll scoff. He won't accept rebuke, and he won't accept advice from anyone. And he's the type of Jew who can, in many cases, get overly involved in Averis. He doesn't mean it, but he's a weak Jew. And rebuke will not help here. So what should you do in such a situation? To rebuke him, you cannot. On the other hand, if you will be silent, then this Jew can go from bad to worse. So what should you do? So in this case, the halacha is if you saw it with two people, if you have two witnesses on this act, and this is the type of person that the Beis Din of the city, we're speaking here, the Chofetz Chaim and the Gemara are speaking like where there was a formal Beis Din in the city that had authority, full authorities. And if the Beis Din would know of this, of what he's doing, they would be able to stop him. And he's the type of Jew that he won't listen to anyone else. But if it comes from the top, he'll listen to them. Or they'll have the power to discipline him for it. Either they'll have the influence over him or the power to discipline for him. And this way he won't go from bad to worse. See, if you saw it with another man, then you're allowed to go testify to the Beis Din. The Beis Din would be obligated to believe you because you're coming to the Beis Din with two aiding, with two witnesses. It's not considered Lashon Hara because Lashon Hara is only when you say something which is negative and it's for the purpose of downgrading the person. But if you say something which is negative for a positive purpose, then this is not Lashon Hara. If you're coming merely to downgrade the person for no purpose whatsoever, then it would be Lashon Hara. But if you're coming to the Beis Din, so the Beis Din should take it in hand. They should say, you know what this person is doing. And the Beis Din will be able to have either influence over him or to discipline him. Or also, that these acts should spread to others, then no longer is it Lashon Hara. Because it's being said for positive purposes. You're not saying it to downgrade the person. And since you're two witnesses, you are two, you would be allowed to go to the Beis Din. But you wouldn't be allowed to tell other people about it. If you would tell other people about it, then it would be Lashon Hara. If you would go say, look what that person is always doing, that would be Lashon Hara. You would also be allowed to tell this to a relative of his if you feel that the relative will believe you. Again, if there are two of you, you could go testify to his relative if you feel that the relative would believe you and they are in a position of influence to do something about it. For example, if it's a young boy, you could tell his father, or you could tell his brother, or you could tell his uncle, or so forth and so on. If you are not two, but only one, then you're not allowed to go to the Beis Din. Because the Beis Din won't be allowed to accept your testimony. If you come and say, you know what that person did, okay, so the Beis Din won't be allowed to accept your testimony. And then it would come on Lashon Hara. And this is the case that our Gemara is speaking about. It's speaking that this Tuvia was a middle-of-the-road Jew, but he was a weak Jew. He wasn't a tzaddik, a righteous person, a tremendously righteous person. He wasn't a middle-of-the-road Jew that if you would tell him he did wrong, immediately he would realize it and he would listen. But he was the type of weak Jew. He tried to keep mitzvahs, but he was a weakling. So therefore, when Zigud saw him commit this act, he says, I better go tell the Beis Din about it. Because he won't listen to me. If I rebuke him, he won't listen to me at all. So I better go tell the Beis Din and they'll do something about it. Since he was a single witness, his testimony wasn't acceptable. Since it wasn't acceptable, it's now Shem Rabbi Amos, Lashon Hara. Therefore they gave Malkus on it. Had he been two witnesses though, then he would have had, then it would have been proper for him to come to the Beis Din. What happens if a person is not two witnesses though? He didn't see it together with someone else? He only saw it individually. What should he do then? Then he has a predicament. To do nothing, this person can go from bad to worse. To go to the Beis Din is not acceptable. His testimony is not acceptable. So then the halacha is that he can go to someone who's close to that person. And if that person will believe him like two people, in other words, if I tell him that, I know for sure he'll believe me as if he saw it himself. This is the type of relationship we have. Then I'm allowed to tell that person. But again, only privately. And it's not considered Lashon Hara, because I'm doing it not for the negative reasons, but for positive reasons. Either that this person should help straighten out Tuvia, or that his Rebbe should know what kind of person Tuvia is and watch that he doesn't influence his other disciples or other people in the wrong way. But this is only if I know that he'll accept what I say like two people. Because if I have any doubts over it, then he might not accept it, and it's Lashon Hara. Therefore, I'm not allowed to say it. And this, in these cases, you're allowed to hate Tuvia. You're allowed to hate Tuvia, but not for other reasons, but because of Ayav Hashem Sinas Ra. Because those who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu hate evil. And since this person is doing evil, and he won't stop from doing it, so as long as he continues in this way, you're allowed to despise it. Because we must make a distinction between good and bad. And we have to despise what's bad. Once he stops doing it, then you're not allowed to despise him anymore. You're not allowed to despise him for other reasons, but for this reason. And that's how the Gemara is speaking. There's another category also. And that is when we're speaking about a Jew who we do not consider a kosher Jew. And who is that? That's a Jew who has a disregard, a total disregard for a mitzvah or mitzvahs. Not someone who tries to keep mitzvahs. A total disregard. But he does certain aveiros, even though he knows they're aveiros. And even though he is not pushed to do the aveiros. And even though there is no great challenge to him, or no great tribulation and trial to him to keep the mitzvahs, and still he transgresses the mitzvahs. This is what would be known as a mumelet over echod. In other words, he has no regard for a mitzvah. That's a different category. That's a different category. And that's already someone who's not becheskes kashrus. That's not someone who's considered a kosher Jew. A person who has a total disregard for a mitzvah, that's a different category. And there, you're allowed to publicize the evil of that person. But again, not just to downgrade him, but for positive reasons. That people should know that you cannot have a total disregard for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and still go around with such a wonderful reputation, or that people should not follow him in his ways. But even then, when we are permitted to tell people about his reputation, the Chofetz Chaim writes, there are seven conditions before you can do such a thing. And you must keep all of those seven conditions. We won't go through them now, but just to give you an idea, you must make sure that you saw. You saw what he did wrong and what he constantly does wrong. And you must make sure that the interpretation is proper. And you must not exaggerate what he does. And what is said must be for a positive purpose, not where you want to benefit from besmirching his reputation. But it must be for positive purposes. And it must not be said merely over a cup of coffee as gossip, and so forth and so on. Otherwise also it would be Loshon Hara. Now today, most Jews, at least here in South Africa, would not so easily fall into that last classification that we mentioned. There's a further classification also, but that we won't go into now. But that's a classification what is known as an apikedis, where you have someone that totally rejects HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the entire Torah. That's the worst classification, see. But we won't go into that now. But most Jews in South Africa would not fall into that last classification. And that's why we have to be very careful about judging Jews. Why? Because a condition that's brought to fall into this classification we just mentioned is that he does an Aveira without any regard for it whatsoever, but it must be an Aveira which is Mefursim L'chol Yisrael Shi Aveira. It must be the type of transgression which all of Israel, or the majority of Israel, realize that it's an Aveira, and they don't do it. Today, because of our situation, where this was very strong, was in the kehillas that you had in Europe. But there you had kehillas that were totally, not every kehillah, but many kehillas that were totally, or the majority, made up of people that kept mitzvahs. So if someone had a total disregard for a mitzvah of mitzvahs, he really stood out like a rotten apple in a barrel of good apples. And he was a different type of person altogether. But today, there are many, many mitzvahs that unfortunately are not kept, but they cannot so easily fall into the classification of a type of mitzvah that all of Israel knows about it and keeps it. So already it's not so easy to judge these people, because they're more or less just following the current. See, in the other situation, that is what is known as a Merid Vashem. He is a total rebel to Klal Yisrael and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in these situations, he's more or less just following the current. So that's why it's not so easy that someone should fall into that last classification. I'm not talking about the ultimate classification of the apikeris, but even that last classification that we mentioned. Also, we must take under the consideration, the halacha is, we must take into consideration the background of a person. For example, if you were in Europe, like we mentioned, and their people had a rich background, and they knew Torah, and they knew mitzvahs, and they were in environments of Torah and mitzvahs. If someone had total disregard for Torah and mitzvahs, then this was a great extreme. Today, our background is not so. We got huge masses of people that were not brought up with Torah and mitzvahs. And they don't know Torah and they don't know mitzvahs. And these don't fall into those categories. And this is explicit in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim, thank you.
in Perek Gimel, after he tells us who is considered the Apicatus, the Apicatus is the one who totally rejects HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, he says, this is only someone who knows and had the proper upbringing and the proper training and is in an environment of Torah and mitzvahs, and still he totally rejects it. And he doesn't reject Torah and mitzvahs because he cannot live up to the test. But even when he's not tested, when there's no problem, he rejects it. But what about the children of these people and the grandchildren? He says, those we cannot judge as their fathers or grandfathers. Because those were led astray by their fathers or grandfathers. They grew up in such an environment. So this is like a child that would be captured by goyim, was brought up as a goy. He you're not allowed to reject, because he never was trained in mitzvahs and in Torah. And therefore they have a din of an onus, of circumstances beyond their control. And even afterwards, afal pi shishom achakach shu yehudi, if you take a child that was captured by goyim, and he was brought up with the goyim, and later on, he came back to Jews, and he realized he was a Jew, and he sees the Jewish way, but he still doesn't concede to the Torah way of life. He also, we cannot classify like this, because he wasn't brought up in such a way. So these, onuroin lahaksirin mitshuva, these were obligated to influence, to come to Yiddishkeit, ulamoshkem bedivrei sholem, and to confront them in peaceful ways, until we return them to Torah. So therefore, it's not so easy to classify someone in this last classification that we mentioned, although there are Jews that fall into this classification. But we have to be careful. So, what do we have now in regards to this last these last two principles that we learned from the Gemara? That if you witness a man doing an Aveira, and even if it's a serious Aveira, how am I supposed to react? If he's a person who is what we call a kosher Jew, person who tries to do mitzvahs, he keeps mitzvahs, I'm obligated to say that what I saw, I didn't see it. It's a mistake. I didn't interpret it properly, or he didn't know what he was doing. And that's a mitzvah's essay. It's a positive commandment of that you shall judge your fellow man favorably. I believe that's in this week's Seder. Yeah, it's also in our Seder. If it's circumstances where I cannot do that, and I know for sure that he committed the Aveira and he knew what he was doing, and I cannot judge him favorably, I'm still obligated to judge him favorably. How? By saying, yes, he did the Aveira, but this type of person most likely will do tshuva for it. In either of these cases, therefore, I'm not allowed to go to the Beis Din to tell them. Even in that case, two were not allowed to go to the Beis Din. Certainly one won't. I'm not allowed to besmirch his reputation in any way. If you do, it's a very, very serious offense to mention this to any soul. And in the second case, where I can where I must say that he did the Aveira, then there's a mitzvah for me to go rebuke him, but in a manner which it'll be acceptable to him, privately, u'benachas u'besholem. If the person is not a middle of the road kosher Jew, but he is what is known as a tzaddik, he's a righteous Jew, very righteous Jew, or a Talmud Chochem, and you see, if you see him do something which can be interpreted various ways, so then for certain you're obligated to interpret it favorably. If you see him do something which cannot be interpreted in various ways, then you're obligated to say that it was, if it was an Aveira, Devari Osa Tshuva. For certain, he has done Tshuva for it immediately. That the Gemara says, if you see a Talmud Chochem do an Aveira at night, you cannot think badly about him the next day. For certain, he's done Tshuva. And therefore, there again, not allowed to despise such a person. You're not allowed to mention this to anyone. And if you do, it's a great offense. If a person is a person who tries to do mitzvahs, he's a middle-of-the-road Jew, but he is a very weak Jew. And now you see that he did an Aveira, and he's the type of person that you can't tell, you can't speak to, because he'll scoff at it. And he's like a borderline case. And if you don't react to it, he can go from bad to worse. Or he can even, his acts can influence others. See, his acts can influence others. So this is the case of the Gemara. This was the case of Tuvia and Zigud. To go tell everybody what he did, that you're not allowed to, because he's still a kosher Jew. And that would be slander. To go to the Beis Din, if you're a single witness, and that's what Zigud did, Zigud wanted to go to the Beis Din and let the Beis Din do something about it, to stop this person from doing these Aveiras and to discipline him and to influence him for his own sake and for the sake of others that he might mislead. So on that, the Rav Papa ordered lashes for Zigud. And on that he said, Tuvia Chotor, V'Zigud Laikin. Tuvia committed a sin and Zigud should get lashes? He said, yes. Because there were two possible Avedas that he transgressed. First of all, it said, Lo Yokum Eid Echor B'Ish. One man shall not stand up against his fellow man. How dare you come to Beis Din and testify that this person did such and such a thing? The Torah said one man is not allowed to testify in such a case. And that itself is an Aveira according to many of the Rishonim. Secondly, since we're not allowed to believe you, so now it's Loshon Hara, it's slander. Nothing positive can come from it. If something positive could have come from it, that would have saved it from being gossip, from being slander. But nothing positive can come from it. So therefore it's Loshon Hara. If there were two, then they could have come to Beis Din. Then it would have been a mitzvah to come to Beis Din. Because if two know something, and a benefit can come from it, then they're obligated to go and tell the Beis Din. But since it was one, he wasn't allowed to. What should he do in such a case, though? He can't go to Beis Din, because the Torah said that testimony in Beis Din must be with two. So now he wants to go tell his Rebbe, his Rabbi, or he wants to tell his friend, look it, your friend Zigud is in trouble. He's associating with the wrong people. He's associating with the wrong women. He's taking drugs. He's gambling. Your friend Zigud's in trouble. If I tell him anything, he won't listen to me. So you want to go tell someone else. Now if while having coffee with your neighbor you tell him, you know, I saw Zigud last night, you know what I saw him? This is the real Loshon Hara. Say, this is the real Loshon Hara, and there's a question that a person can give away is Chelek and Eilam Abo might be smirching another person's reputation. Because the Gemara says Chavruk the Chavru Yishloch, it'll go from one to the other and one from the other. But if the person is interested in doing something for Zigud
or doing something for those who might fall under his bad influence. So what can he do? So the Gemara says, first he must despise him for what he's doing. We don't believe, like many believe, that you can do everything that's despicable, and we will stand back and say, yeah, it's very fine, it's very nice. No, Ayave Hashem Sinus Ra. If you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you must hate what's despicable, you must hate what's evil. So you must despise him for what he's doing, and you know he's doing it. But you can't tell others. So what can you do then? Then, if he has someone that's very close to him, who has influence over, you would be allowed to go to him. But what happens if you don't know that person will believe you? You'll come in, you'll say, you know what Zigu did last time, you'll say, I don't believe you. You're a liar. Then you're not allowed to tell him. Because then it remains Lashon Hara. Because the only way that it can become out of the category of Lashon Hara is if there's a positive benefit for it. And there won't be anything positive. But if you know that he will believe you like two witnesses, that once I tell him I'm so close to that other person, he'll believe you as if he saw it himself, then you're allowed to tell another person. But that person is not allowed to tell anyone else. Even that Rebbe is not allowed to tell anyone else. And that's why the Gemara says, and the Rebbe can hate those acts, he can try to rectify them. If he cannot, then at least he knows to watch for it and to guard for it. He sees Zigud one night going someplace and he's taking another person, he tells the other person, no, don't go with him. These are the principles that we learn from this Gemara. So there were three principles. That he wasn't allowed to testify in Beis Din because he was a single witness. If he was two, if there were two, then they would be obligated. That in this case he's allowed to despise him. And if there is someone that will accept what he says and that person will have influence over him to do something good, then he can tell that person, otherwise not. And then we mentioned there's a further category, and that's the category of a person who has a total disregard for a mitzvah or a mitzvah. That's something else. Then that's not considered a kosher Jew according to the conditions that we laid down before. And he, you're allowed to besmirch his reputation, but only again, only for positive purposes. Not just for slander, but for positive purposes. So if you want to show that this person is not the right type of person and so forth. What's very relevant, this whole discussion is very relevant to us. For these halachas. But what also is very relevant, when it comes to, the Gemara says that one witness cannot stand up against another person to testify against him. What's even more relevant is something which has become quite common in very recent times. I say very recent times because it didn't exist before. It's become quite common all over the world. And it's come to South Africa also. It's become common in Eretz Yisrael and also in America. And in the light of the halachas that we learned this evening, and this Sugi Sagamora, unfortunately, it's contrary to very, very serious averes in the Torah. Very serious mitzvahs in the Torah. And that is, it's very common to find today when you'll have a rov will come and he'll say something is kosher. Either a rov or many rabbonim will come and they'll say something is kosher. And along will come another person, not necessarily a rov, and he'll say it's not kosher, not reliable, don't rely on it. A rov will say that this meat is kosher, another person will say can't rely on it.
This wine is kosher? Can't rely on it. These matzahs are kosher? No, don't eat it. This product is kosher? No, we don't rely on. We don't rely on that heksher. That heksher we don't rely on. Now I say that this is something recent. People think that this is something very frum and very good. This is something very recent, because this didn't exist before. In Europe there was no such thing. If a rov of a kehila said it's kosher, no man stood up against him to say it's not kosher. And if he did, it would be a similar case to the Gemara we just learned. And if a rov said that something is kosher, or if a rov said that a sheikhet is a good sheikhet, or if a rov said these matzahs are good, and someone wanted to testify that they're not good, then the only way he could open his mouth is to bring two witnesses. And bring two witnesses to the Beis Din and have a formal hearing as to why he's making such claims, and the Beis Din would judge. But if he were just gossip or slander, or come to a Beis Din as one witness, you'd have the same results that we learned here in the Gemara. The fact is, there was almost nothing considered nothing more serious than to speak out against another man's heksher, another man's endorsement of the kashrus of a product. A Litvish Jew once told me many years ago, when he came to America, he said, in our towns in Litta, given 100 Talmidei Chachomim in Yerishtot, there was 100 Talmidei Chachomim in every city, over ein rov, but only one rov. When he saw what was going on in recent years, started in America, he said, not in Europe. In unser Städten ist gewähren 100 Talmidei Chachomim, 100 Talmidei Chachomim in every city. Aber ein Rav, but one Rav. Who would open his mouth against the Rav? I had the great schus to serve the Telzer Gedalim for 9 years, and never once did I hear from them that they should say a heksher is not reliable. They knew the halachas. If you say a heksher is not reliable, you're getting into very, very serious water. Because, firstly, you're saying that that man is not qualified to testify and to endorse. And actually, the halacha is, one witness is accepted for isa v'heter. When it comes to define what is kosher and what is not kosher, one witness is acceptable. If I say he's not reliable, firstly, I'm saying he's not kosher for a witness. So I'm saying he's possible. On what grounds is he possible? So the Gemara says, on what grounds is someone not kosher to testify? If it be a Rosho, someone who's a Rosho, someone who's not considered a kosher Jew, is not qualified to testify. So I'm calling him a Rosho. Would you ever hear in Europe someone stand up and call another person a Rosho? You'd have a suit on his hand and a Beis Din. Secondly, by saying that, you're inferring that first of all, this person is not reliable, is not qualified to testify. He's possible. Secondly, Not only is he not qualified to testify, but you're saying that he's been machshles haravim, that he's misleading the masses by putting out a product under the guise that it's kosher and it's not kosher. So in other words, now you're calling him a cheta who machti es haravim. You're claiming that he's a cheta, he's a sinner, and causing the people to sin. Can there be graver accusations to that? Now, we're not speaking of someone who endorses a product and he's a gangster. I'm not talking about that. I'm not speaking of a racketeer, of someone who's in the mafia, or someone who doesn't know how to read. The law is that even if a regular Jew would come and tell us this is kosher, you're allowed to listen to him. As long as he's a kosher Jew and he's an upright individual. Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva writes on such a case that not only is the Rav who endorses a sheikhet or endorses a product or endorses matzah, whatever it might be, not only does he have merely the halacha of a kosher witness, that thereby it becomes reliable, but he's also a chover, he's a Talmud Chochem. And the Gemara says, Chazok al chover sheinam meitzim mitachas yodidov sheinam asukim. That by a chover, a Talmud Chochem, there is a presumption that whatever he gives out is good. And not only that, but if he has been specified to be in charge of kashrus, then he has even greater authority. This is what Rav Moshe Feinstein once writes in the Tshuva. Today is very common, unfortunately, at Eretz Yisrael, other places, Rabbonim can come out with a hechsher, and people can put up a notice, this is not reliable. Or people talk, and unfortunately it's come to South Africa. People talk. Can't eat that. It's not reliable. Now, a person is not obligated to eat anything. We're not speaking about obligations to eat. If you don't want to eat this matzah, if you don't want to eat this meat, if you don't want to drink this wine, this is your prerogative. Not obligated to eat or drink. Only where the Torah required it. If you feel that other endorsements might be better for some reason, by all means. That's not the discussion. The discussion is saying things or doing things which becomes reflections to undermine the validity of various hekshirim. This is the discussion. I mentioned that in tells in 9 years where there were Gedalei tells that had come from, there were Rosh Yeshivas in tells in Europe, I never heard of such a thing. I never heard of such a thing. I heard to the contrary. To the contrary, I heard. I once heard where they came to one of the Rosh Yeshivas, where they wanted to give a bad name to the cook in the yeshiva by saying that she wasn't so strict in all of the halachos, and they were hoping that the Rosh Yeshiva would listen to her and remove her, listen to them and remove her, and he threw them out of his office. He says, don't come to me with Lashon Hara. You want me to get involved in your filthy Lashon Hara? And he threw them out of the office. I once heard where I was in a city where the Rav had paskened that the meat was kosher, and there was a group of very frumah individuals, and they weren't satisfied the way everything was in the slaughterhouse. They weren't satisfied with all the procedures, so they started to bring in their own meat from other sources.
So there became a big confusion in the city. What's kosher, what's not? And now, I was that time in a day school. And the disciples of the day school were coming and they wanted to know, is this kosher or not? So we wrote to one of the Tells of Rosh Yeshivas, what should we tell the students? He wrote back, he says, I don't understand what you're asking. He says, if the Rav says it's kosher, and the Rav is a qualified Rav, a Talmud Chacham, so it's kosher. Because people in the city are saying Lashon Hara, therefore it's not kosher. And he says, if others want better, Tova Aleihem Brocha. So it's good. Let them have better. But to undermine the authority of the Rav, he says, Asidin Litein Es Adin. They'll have to answer for that in the next world. And he said, this question that you ask, what should you teach the children? He says, I don't understand what you're asking. Are you obligated to teach children a chumrah, something extra that an individual wants to undertake upon himself? If the Rav says it's kosher, then you tell the Talmidim it's kosher. If an individual wants better, let him go get better. You're obligated to teach that to them. And he says, if you do, then you'll have to give the din and mishpot on it. This is what the Tells of Rosh Yeshiva answered. I once came into a city where the Rav was a Talmud Chacham, and I had a dilemma. Because there was a certain procedure in that city which the Rav held was permissible. And I had read in a tshuva from the Moshe Feinstein, who was perhaps the great, at that time, today he's the Godel Hador, but at that time he was the greatest authority in America, that the Moshe Feinstein wrote that it is unacceptable min HaTorah. That min HaTorah he held was unacceptable. So I had a dilemma, I was coming to this city. What should I do? If I should totally boycott this procedure, it won't be honored to the Rav. On the other hand, to submit to it, but Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that it's also min HaTorah. So I had an easy answer. I'll let Rav Moshe Feinstein sort it out. So I phoned him. He says, it's true that I hold it's also min HaTorah, but the Rav of that city is a Talmud Chacham. When you go there, you do what the Rav says. This is what Rav Moshe Feinstein answered. This is how it was in Europe. Today, people think they're frum. You can't imagine how many isurim there be in either. They're totally undermining authority of Rabbonim. They are causing chaos and confusion in all of the communities. They are being made to shame Rab the Alma, the worst kind of Lashon Hara. There are many, many things that we extracted from the Gemara today. They are constantly transgress, and it comes down to, they'll tell you, well, look at, I want to save you from an Avera. First of all, by saving them from this Avera, they're committing a dozen Averas, that each one is a dozen times greater than the Avera they're saving you from. But secondly, then it comes down where every man and woman talk about it constantly while they're having their coffee. You can't imagine how far this is from the Emes. When I went to St. Louis, Missouri, St. Louis had a structured kehilla, which you don't find in America. You find it in Johannesburg. In America, you don't find it. And there was a structured kehilla there. So my Rebbe, the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, wrote to me. He says, "Ir St. Louis, hi ulai hayechido b'medinas America, shenishar b'etzuras kehilla." The city of St. Louis is perhaps the only city in America that has retained the structure of a kehilla that, like there was in Lita. Lochein yesh lishmor al zeh me'od me'od. Therefore, do everything possible to guard that structure. This is what he wrote. Because they were used to kehillas with rabbonim, with authority, with respect for authority. I had a friend. Oliver Sholem is not living anymore. A very frum yid. He told me he came to Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Brak, walked into a bakery. He says he'd like some of that cake. So the man saw him, he's a yid with a beard and whatnot. He says, "No, that cake is not for you." He says, "What do you mean it's not for me?" He says, "It's under the Rabbonis Haroshis, that's not for you." He says, "I want dafka that cake." So the man didn't know if he should sell him the cake or not. So he says, "If I cannot rely on those rabbonim, afeshtikul mezainis, morgen ich warfa weg the tefillin." That's what he told the person. "Then tomorrow I don't put on tefillin." The man was confused. He didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't know what he wanted. He thought this is some type of wilde yid from America. He didn't know what he wanted. It's a different language. And that's why these halachas are very relevant. More than relevant. They're the cornerstone. The cornerstone of Yahadus. Because if there is no covered harabonis, then there is no Yahadus. This the Chinuch brings in our parsha, at the beginning of the parsha, where it says, "Sheftim v'sheitrim." And leisosu, that you're not allowed to turn away from the words of the Rabbonim. So he brings, because the authority of the Rabbonis is the cornerstone of our Torah. Once there is no authority or respect for the Rabbonis, then the entire Torah Shebal Peh, the entire Torah, falls and collapses. And this, unfortunately, is what we are witnessing today. And we're witnessing a double misfortune. Because those who are destroying it think they're doing the greatest mitzvah. And I once asked the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, I said, "Why do things like this take place?" And he answered me very simply. He said, "Because they never saw Torah. If they would have seen the Malchus HaTorah, the royalty of Torah that existed in the Litvish Kehillas, then there wouldn't be this conduct. They never saw Torah. They think this is Torah. This is this second great misfortune of this. This is something which is very important to strengthen." And that's why these halachas are so important. And they come from the source of the Torah HaChayim, from the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we should be zeche to see again the Haromas Keren HaTera, the elevation of the crown of Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.